Good morning.
Good morning.
Please be seated. For visitors and those watching, I am not Bren O'Connor. But you'll learn what's going on in just a second. I will be sharing with you her sermon. So this is from Bren. Hello and good morning, Christ Church Cathedral. This is Bren O'Connor. I'm writing from my bedroom in quarantine after contracting this latest variant of COVID-19. It is my regret that I cannot be here to speak with you directly, but I hope to still share this reflection on the gospel with you today. This sermon will be about storytelling, how Jesus uses parables and stories, and how powerful they are to show us the love of God, even in such impossible times. When you were a child learning about Jesus, what did you remember? What images or messages jumped out at you? The first and foremost thing I remember being told about Jesus is how he loved me with the deepest kind of love possible. He was my shepherd. The second thing I remember learning about Jesus is how he performed miracles. As a child, captivated by flashy comic book characters, Jesus also seemed to me to be an extraordinary superhero. He cured people by touch, walked on water, resurrected people from the dead, and fed 5,000 people with a basket of food. How could people not believe Jesus was the Son of God? He was a miracle worker. Now that I'm an adult, one of the things I find so incredible about Jesus isn't necessarily his extraordinary miracles, but how he told stories. Lots of people perform miracles in the Bible. Moses, Elijah, Elisha, and the apostles perform many of the same sort of miracles as Jesus, such as controlling nature or raising others from the dead. But Jesus tells 43 stories throughout the Gospels called parables. Of all these parables, the Good Samaritan is probably the most famous. Calling someone a good Samaritan is a common figure of speech used outside of a religious context. Our legal system even has a class of laws called Good Samaritan laws, protecting people from liability if they are attempting to help someone. There's a reason we remember the Good Samaritan so well. It's an incredible story. Because like the best stories, you can get something different out of it as a child as you would when you become an adult. As a child, I could imagine a big mountainous canyon where the traveler is attacked by scary bandits on horses. I winced when I heard about the priest and the Levite ignoring the man. How could they be such cowards? I wondered in my little heart. And then the Samaritan stops on his busy way, rescues the man, not asking for a moment how this would benefit him. The Samaritan was a hero, and I wanted to be like him, to help, to serve, to show love to all persons, and not just my immediate family network. There are neighbors everywhere, and I am to show them the same love and welcome as this brave Samaritan. Later, I started to learn about the context of this story. Who exactly is a Samaritan? There's so many different tribes and nations in the Bible. As a kid, they all blended together. But Jesus is making a point by singling out the Samaritan. Just who were the Samaritans? They were the ancient Israelites who weren't captured and sent to live in the Assyrian Empire. When the Judeans finally returned from Babylon, they discovered their culture and religious practices were different from the Samaritans, and a great animosity arose as the two groups viewed the other as corrupting the faith of the ancient Israelites. To put it plainly, a Samaritan is not a person you would think of as a neighbor. A Samaritan is a person we hate. At least in this age and day, in polite company, nobody will admit they hate anyone. However, human beings are so good at imagining others as a threat. If we can perceive another person or group as a threat, then suddenly we begin to feel more and more justified to belittle, dehumanize, and attack them. We are good, they are a threat to our way of life. We are not hateful, we are protecting ourselves, our children, our culture. Jesus will have none of that. When Jesus is asked, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus tells a story where the hero was a kind of person that his audience would have been disgusted by. And more than that, Jesus tells us about two upstanding citizens who failed to help the battered man. The priest and the Levite, according to most interpretations, didn't stop to help the man because they suspected he might be dead, and thus touching a dead body would have defiled them. Thus, it was more important to them to maintain their own personal holiness than to get their hands dirty and help their wounded neighbor. In the tension between holiness and the quest for love, Jesus will always choose love. This is important because there is often this anti-Semitic misconception that the Jewish people are solely concerned about little arbitrary rules, but the Christians are all about love and throwing away the law. And yet, it's not hard to see how we Christians often value our ideas of holiness over love and serving our neighbors. Many cities ban needle exchanges, restrict unhoused outreach, refuse to give their children proper reproductive health education and resources. All actions which will objectively help those who are marginalized. Programs like these are too often rejected out of fear that they will promote sin. These programs help those deemed unclean in our society and thus are rejected. The last few months have seen both the overturning of Roe v. Wade as well as a systematic attack on the rights and healthcare access for transgender people. Despite the testimony of women and pregnant people for thousands of years that abortion access is necessary for saving lives and allowing for bodily autonomy, too many have voted to strip our rights because they would rather live in a society focusing on maintaining an image of holiness than following Christ's example. Like a good storyteller often does, Jesus ends the parable by turning back to ask, which one of these three was a neighbor to the man beaten on the side of the road? Notice how the response is not the one who gave the robbed man the most, or the one who paid the most money to help the beaten man. It was the one who showed mercy. Mercy isn't the same thing as pity or charity. Mercy is when you have the social or legal right to ignore someone's suffering or pleas, but you are able to let go, to forgive, and see yourself as equal to the other. The Samaritan would have almost certainly had a prejudice against the beaten man, whom we can assume to be a Jewish person. And yet the Samaritan was a neighbor, not by begrudgingly helping or scheming for a possible reward for saving the man, but because he could let go of social expectations and prejudices and show mercy. Remember how the best stories often have different layers of meaning? There is another interpretation which moves me. St. Augustine, a great parent of the church, wrote about the parable of the Good Samaritan as an allegory about Jesus themselves. We are the ones on the road to Jericho, beaten by bandits and left to die in the hot desert sun. Jesus, much like the Samaritan, is the unexpected rescuer. Instead of a great political leader or military general, our Lord and Savior was a fairly young, unmarried laborer from a small town in Galilee with a bumpkin accent. He was surrounded by an entourage of unpleasant and unsavory figures, tax collectors, single women, sex workers, and he challenged the authorities within his own faith community, and also the colonizing Roman authority, who would eventually murder him. And yet, he is the one who stopped to save me while I was bleeding on the side of the road, when he had every reason to ignore me. He carried me on his donkey. He paid for my room and board, and he cared not at all about what labels had been placed on me, telling me whether I'm allegedly pure or not. My childlike self wasn't wrong. Jesus really is the superhero, the one who rescues us and shows us the way of universal love. By telling us these parables, which nuzzle deep into our hearts, we get a glimpse into his kingdom, where no one is marginalized and all of us are truly neighbors. Christ, you have taught me to love my neighbor with all my heart. May I live in your example and accordingly love you more than anything else. For you were the one who looked me in the eye when I was unkempt. You touched me when I was seen as unclean. You loved me when nobody else would. And here I end with Bren's Amen.